columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
It's time to step in the fan's film room, analyzing game tape on the 2020 Broncos, just like Alex Gibbs talking about Mark Schlereth.
That guard did not cut, and I promise you, he got chatted with. That fat ass needs to get his feet moving better than that. And I promise you, when he came off that field, I ripped his
here to break down the film. It's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
It's Missouri against Memphis and Albert Okwuegbunam. Let's see how he does.
They go back to their money man at quarterback, Drew Lock.
Wide open, Nannis, a tight end over the middle, and it's a foot race. 58-yard touchdown. They called Albert O. Okwuegbunam on the score.
It's coming. Lock settles in, hits
an open there at the 25. A foot race for the tight end. There's that man again. Albert O with his second score, 47 yards.
On first down, Lock. There it is, Albert O. And oh my, touchdown. His third of the game. Drew Lock and company bringing their A game to the table today. A 65-33 route.
That's our assignment. I watched that, Tyler, and then I actually watched another video of Albert O playing against South Carolina the next year. Here's what I realized. Your quarterback's really, really, really important. It's really important because I know Albert O's numbers were down in the year that he did not have Drew Lock, and it was obvious why. But Drew Lock's a great quarterback and was a great college quarterback. But this guy's fascinating. I'm curious to hear what you think.
Well, D-Mac, certainly was an exciting game to watch. Missouri scored 258 points in this game, and every single pass went for 168 yards. I don't know how they pulled it off.
What a game!
But it was certainly full of action for sure. Albert Okwuegbunam was a red zone target that is hard not to recognize the talent that he has. Got three touchdowns in this game. Was really fun to watch Drew Lock, I thought. Fun to watch the chemistry that he's got with Albert O.K. And I think that that's going to be a significant factor moving forward. I think it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, when Albert O. gets on the field and Noah Fant's on the field at the same time. Does Drew Lock have a favorite? You know, is he going to have a preference for his old college teammate or not? I think the chemistry is real between Drew Lock and Albert O. I thought that Albert Okwuegbunam was, I don't know, a little bit lazy in his routes, actually.
Uh-huh.
He has no crispness in his routes. He never puts his foot in the ground and gets out and creates separation via... You know, just his break out of it. He's got tremendous speed. He's got 4.49 speed at the combine, but he was just kind of jogging out there most of the time. So it's hard to see if that really translates on the field. I guess it's just because he was such a superior athlete than the people he was going up against. And on top of that, the college game, you just get so spread out that it's so easy to get open that he probably didn't have to. But I didn't really see... When you're watching the film, did you feel like you were watching a 4.49 guy?
Felt I was watching a guy standing up a lot. It's funny
right?
to say that. In fact, after I watched the tape, I went back and checked out what his 40 was because I thought, watching the tape, oh, this guy must be slow. And
well, he's the fastest tight end of the combine this year.
Correct. So why am I thinking this guy must be slow? Maybe it's because he was really not running all that hard for the vast majority of the game that we were watching. In terms
yeah,
of Lock,
that's what it looked like. It just looked like he wasn't really putting full effort in.
And part of it is because they were playing a crap team and they had a big lead and you didn't have to, I guess, or the play was running away from you or who knows. But here's where I am with Albert O on the positive. This guy is going to be a freaking monster in the red zone.
Oh, heck
combined
yeah.
Combined with Noah Fant. Teams are in big trouble against the Broncos in the red zone because they're going to have to, plus Cortland Sutton, plus, heck, if he makes the team, Tim Patrick, we're going to have some huge guys. So here's how I see Albert O. I think it's a brilliant pick because I think he's the other half of KJ Hamler, meaning I don't think KJ Hamler is worth much at all in the red zone. And I don't know how important Albert O is between the 20s. But I think in the red zone, I think this kid, Albert O, could score 6 to 8 touchdowns this year, Tyler. This year. I'm not going to say he's going to have a ton of catches, but I would not be surprised if he had something like 30 catches and 7 touchdowns this year. Something like that.
Well, hey, man, I would agree with you. It's very clear and it's very obvious that he's going to be a tremendous weapon down there in the red zone. And absolutely, it's great if you can get him on the field at the same time as Noah Fant. You get 2 one-on-ones.
What are you going to do with those two?
You've got 2 of the fastest tight ends in the game matched up one-on-one with linebackers that are just athletically not as gifted as these guys. So, of course, that'll be a great option for him. I guess I'm still a little bit confused on why we selected him, because he just looks exactly like Noah Fant. You know, neither one of them block. They both are just wide receivers playing the tight end position. I'm certainly not knocking the skill set. The skill set is real. I just don't see how it complements Noah Fant, other than, I guess, freeing him up a little bit, and it's kind of like the 1-2 punch that Jerry Jeudy will provide for Cortland Sutton. You got to pick your poison. You can't bracket both of them.
Well, I think KJ Hamler is a specialty player, and I think Albert O's kind of a specialty player too. But I'm glad he's on the team. And like I said, where you picked him, the possibilities of Noah Fant's your guy, okay? Noah Fant is your Kyle Rudolph or your Evan Engram or these other guys we've been watching with Pat Shurmur. But Pat Shurmur uses tight ends, 2 tight ends, all the time. But he just doesn't use the 3 wide receivers with the 2 tight ends. Okay, fine. And I think of KJ Hamler as a specialist anyways at this point. So to me, it's not a big deal. You just, here we are. We're at the 25-yard line or 20-yard line or 15-yard line. Hamler's off. Okawebanam's in. Period. And I think it's going to be pretty amazing what you can get out of him, and how are you going to cover Fant and Okawebanam at the same time?
Well, yeah,
seriously,
don't forget about Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. They're all 4
well, right.
Be on the field at the same time.
Correct. So you're inevitably going to have
all 6. How tall is Jerry Jeudy?
Judy's 6'1".
Okay. Well, the majority of them are pretty dang tall.
Yeah, but Judy's got like a 40-inch vertical leap or something. I mean, it's like ridiculous. This is
Cortland Sutton, 6'4". You've got
right.
You've got 3 bodies on the field that are 6'4" or taller.
Pretty awesome. And you got KJ Hamler, when you can get him the ball, if there's some space, who can't be caught. I don't care that he's, you know, I bet his, hey, Tyler, I bet you his high school basketball highlights are unbelievable. Albert.
Guaranteed. Flat out guaranteed. They're all amazing. he can do a 360 windmill also, I'm sure of it.
I'm watching him, and he was reminding me so much of Julius Thomas. So much. Just like a incredibly athletically talented dude who, when it was his time, hey, cool. When it wasn't his time, you know, okay, everybody else, have fun. I'll tap in when it's my time again. So I don't think he's like the most complete guy like Kelce or Gronkowski or anything like that. But, boy, I think it's an incredible addition and an amazing piece of the pie. I think it's going to be pretty exciting to have this dude on the team.
Hey, man, we got weapons all over the place. So I hope that we're scoring 30, 35 points a game, because that's what it should be.
Well, you know, Bill Polian talked about what it takes to beat the Chiefs. We'll hear that. Also, Bill Barnwell. Wow. Wait till you see the grade he gave the Broncos for the offseason. That's next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Now, Bill Polian, Hall of Fame, GM, and executive song with the Soakley Show. Tyler a little bit earlier, and he said this is what Pat Shurmur is going to be doing.
The running game should be pretty good. I think it'll be pretty good, and Pat will emphasize it. And then you look for the quarterback and the receivers to grow together. And by the time we hit week 12, if we have a full season, the measurements should start from week 12 on.
Okay. Got to win some games before week 12, though.
Yeah, week 12. I help me out here. I don't quite understand that.
I don't know.
Week 12.
I guess that's when he judge how you start to gel together.
It's a long time. The season's over. I certainly hope we're gelling before week 12.
Let's go to the phones. Hey, Brad, you're on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Question for Tyler. How does an offensive coordinator go about installing a new offense without having the team physically walk through plays?
That's a tough task to ask, no doubt about it. You've got to get creative in the ways you teach. You're going to do it all virtually. So the actual teaching, the actual execution of being up there on the board and all that, in theory, you can do it online. In theory, you could draw up X's and O's. You can show the guys film. You can do all of it. But the challenging part, where I know I personally did the most majority of my learning, is when we got out there on the field and we did the walkthroughs. And, you know, you just slowly actually walk through it, and you got to do it in person. It's going to be a huge challenge, and I think it's one worth noting. I think the teams that have got carryover with their offensive coordinators, with their defensive coordinators, they're going to have a huge advantage this year because guys like Pat Shurmur, they haven't yet had an opportunity to meet with their guys in person.
You don't think you could line up like family members or your pet balls or something, and you can move them around?
You know, that's not a bad idea. You might want to go the superhero route if you got young kids. Yeah. Get the heroes, get the villains. Right. Heroes are on offense, villains are on defense.
Right.
Not a bad idea.
That's the challenge, right, to make it all cut. Well, I mean, there you go. And according to Bill Polian, it won't happen until week 12, Tyler.
Yeah, it's a real concern, man. I mean, anytime you install a new offense – it's just an extremely tough task. You're teaching a new language to many players that don't know the verbiage. They don't even know the play calls. But when you talk about installing a new offense virtually without the guys in the room, not being able to go out there on the field for the walkthroughs, as I sit there and I think about it, realistically, it could be a month. It could be 5 or 6 weeks into the season. I hope it's not 12, but it could be 5 or 6 weeks into the season until you see this offense start to look like they know what they're doing.
Well, Bill Barnwell's a national writer for ESPN, and he was ranking the best off seasons. He's got the Broncos at number 3. And I know what you're thinking. Well, who's 2 and who's 1? Browns are 2, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are number 1, but the Broncos at number 3. And he emphasizes everything they did for Drew Lock, saying the best thing you can do for a young quarterback is give him weapons. And you got Melvin Gordon, Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, signing Graham Glasgow. It's definitely a review where we are seeing this nationally. People are sort of breezing over the whole Garrett Bowles, Juwan James thing. They really are. They're looking at everything else, although he does mention what went wrong is they didn't, you know, really address Garrett Bowles. He does mention that. And he brings up, what about Jason Peters or Kelvin Beachum, which we've done too. So this is a pretty exhaustive, in-depth review of what was going on, probably as in-depth as we've seen in the entire offseason from anybody of national stature.
Well,
so how about
that? Where do you think our own guys right here on this station, where would we put the Broncos on the most improved list? Because you go down the big board of predictions, and everybody's 9-7, 8-8. We've got a 10-win here. We've got what was Nick at the lowest? Was he 7 or 6 wins, something like that?
Something like that.
You know, but for the most part, we're all right there, 9-7, 8-8, okay? So do we view them as one of the most improved teams in the NFL? Does the record have to say that they won 10 games for them to be most improved? Or could it be setting the stage for the future?
I think it's about 2021, in my opinion. And I would have a hard time evaluating everybody else's offseason.
Okay.
I just think the offseason the Broncos had was really good.
Okay, I would agree with you, D-Mac. But we still, all that being said, we've still all got them at 9-7. I know you and I both have them at 9-7. So What does that really mean? What is still missing? Is it just the O-line? You know, is it
O-line and cornerback?
Okay, so to me,
doubt at those two positions.
It's O-line by 2021. Certainly, let's hope they've solidified the offensive line. They've got themselves a franchise left tackle, but it's still going to come down to quarterback play. You know, it's all going to come down to Drew Lock and what does he do? So, you know, for us to get over the hump to go from a 9-7 team to an 11 or 12 win team. What do we really need out of Drew Lock? You know, how good does he really have to be? Does he have to be like a Matt Ryan or does he have to be Patrick Mahomes, you know?
He has to be Case Keenum in Minnesota in 2017.
Nah, that's not good enough for 11 or 12 wins. I understand the Case Keenum got 13-3, but that was an anomaly. You don't get that high without a superstar QB.
Oh, man, I guess I was looking at more like, you know, you don't turn the ball over. And
you think you get to 12 or 13 wins by just not turning the ball over? No.
Completing, 23 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, completion rate of 65%. Yeah, I think so.
No, D-Mac. I mean,
and fumbles. You can't be fumbled like Daniel Jones.
If you're going to really get over the hump, look, you can go to the playoffs with that. As long as your QB doesn't make mistakes and as long as he doesn't lose games for you, you could win 9 or 10 games for sure. That's realistic. But if you're going to get over the hump and start talking about competing for the AFC Championship, which you have them in 2021, by the way.
2021, yeah.
You've got them in the AFC Championship. Not necessarily winning it, but no. You got them there.
Yep.
You know, your QB play's got to be top 10. It's got to be top 10 in the NFL.
Well, in 2021, I don't think they are.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about this year. I'm talking about when they get over the hump, how good does Drew Lock really have to be?
He's got to be you're right. He's got to be a top 10 quarterback, no doubt about it. So top for 2021, you got to be 28 touchdowns. Less than 10 interceptions, you got to be kind of a wizard, man. You do. Because you got to – and you know what? The one thing that came crystal clear, Tyler, after watching the entire Giants 2019 season and Pat Shurmur in 2017, you can – I tell you what, man. Those freaking holding calls and offensive line penalties, just absolutely
right.
Horrible.
I mean, you go from 1st and 10 to 1st and 20. I mean, come on, man.
Kill drives, almost impossible to convert on 3rd down. Just absolutely brutal. Brutal. So that's my biggest takeaway from that. And I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, every time you get an offensive holding call, it's just like, that's the end of the drive. That's it. So just check it off the list. I mean, if you can convert a 1st down after getting an offensive holding call, hey, man, good for you. But the odds are stacked against you. And that's the one thing
we
saw.
You got to get lucky on your running back screen that you throw on the next play.
Something's really got to go your way. And the success that the Vikings had with Pat Shurmur, and again, it's what everybody's trying to do. Tyler, it's 3rd and 4 or shorter. And, geez, in that situation, man – Pat Shurmur is going to make magic happen for you over and over and over again. But you can't do it when you're getting holding calls. And it's weird because so you get a holding call, right? And the drive stops. You punt the ball, and the other team has a drive, and maybe they get a couple 1st downs, and they punt it back. But over the course of time, okay, so no points were scored off of it, but you didn't do anything either.
Right.
You didn't progress your drive anywhere. You didn't get better field position maybe
for a
field
goal. I'll tell you this, as an offensive lineman, if I get a holding call, my only hope and prayer is that some way the sweet, sweet, sweet Lord allows us to get 1 1st down because then I feel like I got the monkey off my back.
I tell you, I don't blame you. But, you know, it's funny. Even then, right? Even then, look what you guys had to do. I get it. It feels better, I'm sure. But look at everything else you had to do to get there.
Of course.
We just can't have it. We cannot have it, and it's what terrifies me the most. And about everybody about Garrett Bowles.
You know what, I would tell Garrett Bowles going into the season, I would just tell him, look, man, if you give up a sack, it's okay. You give up a sack, I'm not going to bench you. Stuff happens, all right, man? Go out there, compete to your best. But if you get 2 strikes, you get two strikes. Mm. You get one holding penalty, or if you get one personal foul, whatever it might be, the first time you get two strikes within back-to-back games, you have to sit down for at least a game. You just have to sit down.
There's got to be some sort of consequence this year. Top six comes up next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.